Hello, everyone. Hope everyone's doing well tonight. We are going to be covering a double jornada in Guardianes 2021. We have some stuff to follow up with the Piojo versus Gio debates. Funes Mori got jacked. And there is just a lot of stuff we're going to cover tonight. But before I go any further, let's welcome everyone to Cantina MX Football Podcast. Joel and Beto, how are we doing tonight?
What's up, Jaime? Joel, doing good.
Greetings, gentlemen. Doing good as well.
Yes.
It feels like it's been forever since our last episode, but it's really only been like about a week. And a lot has happened in that week. You know, we ended last episode talking about, you know, Team Gio versus Team Piojo, and I don't think Piojo expected it to blow up the way it did, and he went publicly on his YouTube channel saying that he, you know, he redacted his comments over Gio, and you know he's a professional player. He's grateful to have him, and he's a, you know, very important player. What do you guys think about all that?
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't want to. He sort of said it from the beginning, but he sort of let loose his tongue a little bit with the insults. And, but I think he doesn't want to burn a bridge there. He's still,
what insults?
Well, saying that he's like, injury prone. And once he gets like a little bit hurt, he says, I want out.
What? I didn't see it as an insult.
It was offensive though. I mean, Gio didn't. Took it that way as well.
He definitely threw him under the bus.
Yeah. So he did it intentionally. I mean, he still likes Gio. He wanted him on the team. He still thinks he's like a great player, but he did want to sort of like get that jab at him a little bit. And then right now he's just saying, okay, I didn't mean to say it that way or whatever, because he didn't really want to like become enemies with him. He just wanted to say, hey, the dude cries too much because he gets injured all the time. But yeah, it's Piojo, man, running his mouth and then comes back to regret it a little bit.
Yeah, I think he underestimated how, you know, the public would respond to it again. And this is like an old interview, you know, it was over a year old. It got resurfaced and, you know, I don't know. I just feel like he realized, oh shit, you know, maybe I shouldn't have threw Gio under the bus, and who knows, they might work together again in the future. So I'm sure that he wants to keep the relationship somewhat salvaged, you know?
Yeah.
So we had a lot of football in a short amount of time. Match week 9 happened on Tuesday, and Atlas beat Atletico San Luis. Kind of a shocking result there. They won 3-1. You know, San Luis were in good form, and I have a little bit to shed some light about Atlas, because not only did they win against San Luis, but they also beat Juarez on Saturday, and they're in a position of playoffs. Right now they're in seventh position, but there is something very interesting. I don't know if you guys know this, but there are consequences for being the shittiest team in the league, and Atlas will not be able to participate if they continue this trajectory. If they end up in a 1 through 12 position, they are not allowed to participate in Liguilla due to the fact that they are the worst team in the league percentage wise.
Oh, snap.
Really?
So they finished 12? Where would they have to finish?
No. It doesn't matter where they finish. Because they were the worst team in the last four seasons, they have given up their right to playoffs. Yeah.
So this season, they can't qualify no matter what.
Yeah, because, you know, if it wasn't for this new, you know, setup, Atlas would have been relegated. You know, they would have been... sent to this, you know, Ascenso. So because they can't do that, they do get penalized as far as a fee. They have to pay a fee for being the worst team in the league. And then they also aren't allowed to go to Liguilla.
That's messed up.
So Atlas could go on a tear right now, when the rest of their games end up in first place, and they will have to give up their spot to the 13th team, 13th placed team.
That's messed up. That's messed up for the 13th place team also.
So,
well, I mean, Atlas is cruising on 3 points that were gifted to them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And those are affecting some of the teams like Chivas right now.
That's actually something I had totally forgotten about. You know, Atlas are, again, seventh position, 15 points. If you take away the actual match that happened between them and America,
they had lost.
Which would have put them at 12 points, which would be right there with Chivas as far as points go.
And the minus two because they lost 2-0.
That's right.
So on goal differential, yeah.
And America now would be in first place.
They're in a seven game unbeaten streak. We need to make that.
Atlas
is. Yeah, we need to make a picture that says "Cómo se siente perder."
I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn, but Chivas are also unbeaten in the last eight matches. You know, or sorry.
Yeah, and again, it goes into that game where they did lose.
Yeah, and it does.
So technically, they're not on a seven.
Yeah, I just thought it was interesting because I didn't know that, you know, and they had talked about it on the broadcast that, hey, you know, like, you know, don't get all excited about Atlas because they aren't going to be able to participate in Liguilla. So I'm just glad that there are some repercussions, even if there is no relegation anymore, that there are consequences to your actions, and, you know, you don't want to be the worst team in the league.
Yeah, and I guess it makes sense with the no relegation. But damn.
Yeah,
I don't know if I agree with it.
It's safe to say that I'm pretty sure that, you know, Chivas will make playoffs.
That would be funny if it's at Atlas' expense.
It could be. It very well could be.
They finish 13th and they go in.
Yeah. We're going to talk a lot about Chivas. I kind of want to go over some more results, though. Actually, let's talk about something that's pretty pressing. Funes Mori was robbed at his house. I guess he had somebody go to their house, held them in their dining room, their entire family in their dining room, and they ransacked the entire house. They made him go and enter the code to his safe. They took his Rolex watches, his jewelry, all his personal items. Damn. And this just so happens to be around the time that, you know, he's getting his papers. He's going to be eligible to be capped for the Mexican national team. And there was talks about him, you know, potentially being capped by Tata Martino. So I don't know if this is kind of just like, you know, I don't know if there's any relation between these two events happening, but, you know, the fact that he got robbed, man, at his own home.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. Fortunately, nothing happened to him or his family. So that's a good, you know, that's a plus. Damn, what a welcome. What a welcome to the country.
I know, right? So, oh, yeah, it's Mexicano. All right, we can go after him now.
You seen the meme? It's like Mexico's not just known for this. Where they're throwing the tourists.
Yeah, it's like they're known for like the beaches, the food, but then also robbery. What is it about Monterrey? Is that like a? I mean, I know there's a lot of work there, you know, because of the steel factories and stuff. But you know that
to be one of the more safest, you know.
And that also has to be. Happens to be the same place where, you know, Pulido got kidnapped and stuff. So something about Nuevo León, man. I don't know.
Yeah, but Pulido's kidnapping was so vicious. And then the fact that he didn't want to go and talk about it, his brother went to do a recreation.
Yeah.
I don't know. I never believed it.
Oh, it happens everywhere, though. It happens. It's not Monterrey. It's not specifically Monterrey. It happens everywhere in Mexico.
Even no, but Monterrey is one of the safest, and then they have neighborhoods that are, you know, like...
Yeah, they're very nice. It's a very rich city.
Yeah. So I feel it could have been someone that knew him. You know, maybe not that close, but knew him well enough to know.
And it happens every now and then. Like, there's that guy, he used to play for, I forget his name, Liga MX. He's an analyst now for TUDN. I think it's TUDN. He got robbed in Mexico City. I think he's from Argentina or South America somewhere. I can't remember that dude's name.
Is it Paco Villa or no?
No, it's...
Is it the Spanish guy? ¿Cómo se llama?
Yeah, I think it's the Spanish dude, right?
El Barbón. ¿Cómo se llama? I forgot his name. I know who you're talking about, though. He used to play for Leones Negros, and then he went to Cruz Azul.
I think so.
Yeah.
Mark Rosas.
Rosas, yeah.
Yeah, he got assaulted in Mexico City.
How everyone gets assaulted there, man.
Peralta, too. I think that was the reason why he went to Chivas. He was being threatened. So he
Wait, Oribe?
Yeah. Peralta, yeah.
No, but he left because he wasn't going to be a starter no more. And so he wanted to get more playing time. And they had already told him, like, you're just going to be, like, bench. He had been carrying that injury.
No, but he got threatened, like, very shortly. Like, he said that his controversial move to Chivas was partially caused by a kidnapping threat towards his family. So.
Oh, that was something different because I looked at a he was assaulted.
There was
he was robbed in while he was with the national team in Coahuila, in Torreon.
Huh.
That was a different situation. I do vaguely remember the like the kidnapping threat.
Yeah, it's happened, and that, I think that's a reason why. I think in the future, Liga MX will start losing players to MLS. You know when that. To compete for talent and these type of things, you know, it will hurt when it's time to make a decision of where to play.
I'm sure it factors in, you know.
Yeah. Especially if you have a family, you know. If a single dude might be like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, but you don't, okay, like, look at the difference, though, of like, because Mexico has something I think the U.S. doesn't, and like the culture, the language, just the way people treat each other. Because you look at Gignac and just the way he loves Mexico, just the way he talks and speaks Spanish, and he learns all like the bad words. And
oh, yeah, he embraced it. He embraced
he embraces it. Like, do you see Pulido embracing like Kansas City? Like, is he posting stuff of like,
what is
Kansas
it? City what is there to embrace there, man?
Yeah, all he's embracing is like the riches around him.
Is he supposed to put on Dorothy's red shoes and clap his heels? Like, I don't know what Kansas is.
Yeah, you would never know what city he was in. I mean, he had the Kansas. He went to the Super Bowl with the jersey, right?
Oh, that's right. He went to Chiefs.
But you don't have that type of connection with the U.S. So people that are like passionate in Mexico, they turn into like geniacs. People that are just out for like material, you know, short-term wealth and stuff. And
no, well, I know the football culture is not there yet, but I mean, players, that's not going to be first on their list.
Even beside the football culture, the like connection to any, like the country's culture, the people's culture.
Well, I think the language is a big one. You know, like if you're a player from South America, right, you're playing in Chile, Argentina, Paraguay, you know, one of those countries. You get an offer from the MLS, you get an offer from Liga MX, you know what I mean? You're weighing both options. One thing that you are going to get in both countries is a little bit less intense as far as, like, you're able to walk around and live your life, and you're not going to be, you know, you know, being threatened and stuff. You know, I think that was one of the things that a lot of players from Argentina said. You know, it's like, yeah, in Argentina, it's cutthroat, man. Like, if you have a bad game, the fans are going to, like, want to, like, rip your balls off and stuff. But in Mexico, it doesn't live as intensely. You know, there's still a lot of passion, but it's not as ridiculously, you know, it's not as cutthroat as it is. So I think it comes down to, like, if you are on the fence, you do see all these, you know, kidnappings and all these, you know, robberies and stuff in Mexico, you're probably going to look at MLS and be like, all right, you know, this, I might get paid a little bit less, but at least I'll have security, you know?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Once they're paying the same or more.
Yeah.
That's when I see the gap closing or shifting. Because I'm not saying it's going to happen, just that there's a possibility that it can happen. And that's when we'll start seeing it, when they start competing for that talent. Because, you know, in years past, I've seen how there was players that were like from South America, they would end up in Mexico because they would get paid more. And these are players that could have gone to lower division teams in Spain. And it was like they took, you know, they took the money because it's no guarantee. So you could go to, I don't know, like a Logroñez, and then they trying to buy you cheap or you know, they're just, you know, we think Europe, so we automatically associate with the rich top clubs, but a lot of the middle to lower tier teams, they don't have that much money. And so for many years, yeah, they would just try to get these players as cheap as possible. And so Liga MX would give you a guarantee. You would have your good 4-year contract. A lot of them took it. Rodallega, I remember, was one of them. And I remember a lot of Colombianos were upset. They were like, his career ended. It's similar to like Liga MX when Vela went to LA Galaxy, you're saying he retired.
Yeah.
The difference is Rodallega was very young, and he still ended up going abroad. So I think.
Hey, he went to Wigan, I think.
We might. Yeah, I think we're EPL. So I do think we're gonna start seeing that. I don't know how much further up, where they're gonna start competing for some of the same top players.
That's not going to happen until MLS gets rid of the salary cap, which I don't think that's ever going to happen, because that's just how businesses are run in America.
Yeah, salary cap is, I wasn't thinking of that.
Yeah.
But I mean, they already took some players, like, you know, they've taken players like Rui Diaz, and I forgot the other dude's name.
Well, the difference is, though, is like there are sloppy seconds. You know, we've sent, you know, Kubo, we've sent Jürgen Damm, you know, we've sent Pizarro, we've sent all these players, but they went,
I don't think Pizarro and Rui Diaz are sloppy seconds, man.
Well, what I'm saying is like it's not like they had a choice between, like when they're starting their career or trying to move their career forward, it's not like it was between Mexico and MLS. They already did their thing in Mexico, and then now they're just trying to get paid out. You know, that's the difference. That's still how MLS is being perceived, is you go there to get your big paycheck and maybe retire, but it's not a stepping stone. It's not a place that will catapult you into Europe. At least that's not right. As of right now, that's not how it's being perceived as. It's still being looked as a retirement league, and that's not going to change for a while.
Yeah, I can dig that. I can agree with that. But yeah, I mean, he's a legit dude. There are some legit dudes, but they're few. They're very few of them. And even if they do go, then, you know, well.
I mean, look at Celer Ryan. You know, he left Tigres. He ended up winning a championship with Columbus Crew the next season. I mean, it's just so easy to win in the MLS and to, you know, not suck there. And they're getting paid well. So it's, but, you know, I think until they change something as far as the salary cap goes, I still think that Mexico will always be the more attractive option. And it's like, all right, cool. From there, you get your paycheck MLS, and then, you know, you retire or whatever. I'm curious to see what happens with Pizarro. You know, he still has a lot of talent. He's in his second year at Miami. I'm sure they're paying him a lot of money, and they're, you know, they're not happy with how the team did in that first season. They got rid of what was the coach from Monterrey, right? Alonso something. They got rid of him after the first season. So I don't know.
Yeah, in this gap.
We're talking about Miami.
Yeah.
With Pizarro, that's the coach. That was Alonso.
Yeah, yeah, they got rid of him.
But Kansas City, I don't know. I don't know who their coach was.
I don't know.
Talk that Pulley will be called up to the national team, so that's one of the rumors. True if big, you know.
Well, it's interesting because right now, I don't think any MLS player should be called up, and it's just for the fact of just not being active, you know. I mean, we have Vela, we have Chicharo, we have Pulido, but they're not playing soccer right now, so why would we call them up?
That's just a rumor that's going on. I don't know if it's maybe Pulido pain, you know, because you could do that. You could.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Pulido just turned 30, and everybody wished him a happy birthday except for Chivas.
That's messed up, man. Someone dropped the ball there.
But yeah, that's...
Go ahead.
I was going to say that's... this whole gap situation on the club side is one thing. And, you know, that's still... We're still waiting for that to close or for that to actually happen. And I don't know if we want to go into this yet, but on the national team side, that's another thing. Like, I'm not fearing or anything, but I'm thinking I wouldn't be surprised if there's some pretty bad defeats for the Mexican national team.
Come on, man.
Versus the U.S. in the near future.
Don't buy into that bullshit. You know, I woke up this morning, as did everyone else, and went on Twitter, and FIFA, out of all Twitter handles, FIFA just chose violence this morning. Saying, all right, let's settle this, you know, who has the better talent right now, USA or Mexico? And, you know, I took the bait. You know, I was like, you know what? It's been 2013 was the last time in the men's national team, the U.S. men's national team beat us in an actual official competitive match, not a friendly, but an actual competitive, you know, World Cup qualifying match. It's been almost 8 years, guys. And, you know, there's been players that have came and went from the national team, all these talented players, and you know, we hear it every single time, man. Every single cycle, we always hear about, oh yeah, well, watch out for the U.S., watch out for the U.S., watch out for the U.S., watch out for the U.S. It's like, yo, man, I'm not even worried about them right now. You know, qualify to a World Cup first, because you guys need to focus on that. That should be your priority, not this Mexico USA debate, man. You all need to worry about yourselves, man. Doesn't matter who's in Europe, doesn't matter who's playing for Barcelona, Juventus, or, you know, all these big clubs. If you can do it on the national team in a competitive match, all right, then we can go and talk about who's better. But right now, it's all speculation. It's all FIFA 21.
Yeah, okay, so like before, you know, Mexico or the US, Mexico would beat the US. And then the US got the 2-0. And then the U.S. got a bunch of other 2-0s with MLS-based teams. And Mexico, of course, was Mexico. Then the U.S. started exporting to, like, these second-tier teams in Europe. And when they played, a lot of times the U.S. had more European players.
Wait, Chiquis, I need to remind you something.
All right, go ahead.
Chiqui, bro, this is what happened. FMF signed a contract with Soccer United Marketing. And so that contract was for that company to pretty much organize Mexico's friendlies in the U.S. So before that, Mexico pretty much always just played in Los Angeles. There's just the Coliseum, which is known as Azteca del Norte. every now and then they played in some other stadium, but it was pretty rare. It was mostly... That was their two goal place. But around that time, you know, with the whole something, it changed, and that's when you started seeing these Mexico tours and Mexico playing and all these venues and just playing all over the U.S. So part of that deal, you know, that Mexico play in the U.S. was most of the time somewhat organized. So some was organizing the games, and I think they had I know the contract has changed throughout the years. But at one point, I think they were in charge of bringing in the rivals, and but I think big part of that contract was a game against the U.S. and it was mostly held around the same time. I think it was in February or something like that. So there was this one big thing that would happen in I think it was in January. The U.S. would always host a January camp. Pretty much always they would host and they would have like 30 or 40 players and they would just be doing camp. And that was a big thing for them. So for them, beating Mexico was a big thing, man. They weren't seeing it as an amistoso.
Yeah, they were taking it serious.
But a lot of times by the time they went to that game, these dudes were pumped and fired up, man. And they had been studying Mex. They had trained, you know, set their vitamins. And no, it was it. Train, take your vitamins, and say your prayers. So, and you know, Mex was the opposite. They were just doing the compromiso, and they'll call it up 2 weeks or a week before, you know, and then just show up and play. And a lot of times, you know, the liguilla was going on, or not the liguilla, but the league. But that was a bit of a turning point where they were beating Mex. And I remember a lot of fans was like, well, it doesn't count. It's just a friendly. But, you know, they slowly started getting Mexico's number that way. And before you know it, they're beating Mexico at the World Cup. And they ended up with this, what was it? You know, the Columbus, that very long undefeated streak. You know, that it was where the Dos Aceros started. And so that played a big part into it, the whole deal with some and playing Mex, playing U.S. and not taking it serious.
Actually, the first Dos Aceros happened in 1991 in Los Angeles in a Gold Cup semifinal.
Oh shit!
Yeah, but yeah, and you know who was the coach
for U.S. or for Mexico?
No, for Mexico, it was La Puente.
Huh.
If I'm not mistaken, it was Bora. Bora Milutinovic.
Oh, that was the United States' first title.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, it was Belibor. And the Gold Cup had just been kicked off. The Gold Cup had been restarted, and the U.S. was going to be hosting the World Cup. So they brought in Bora.
Yeah, so
what but I was it saying. Was the first one, but the Columbus for qualifiers, that's where they started the whole Dos Aceros thing.
That's where the chant was born, and, well, I guess the World Cup is really... The World Cup, we're in really no, like
you know, fight it. And then... I know it seems I went off topic and all, but I know because you were saying how the U.S. would have more European based players, but I think a bigger part it wasn't because of that, it was more of like how they took the games and just how they took it more serious and how they knew that was the team to beat. They saw like, you know, like I think they say. I think this is the same for jail. Look, go and beat up the biggest guy, you know, sort of assert your dominance. And that was it. They knew that Mex was the biggest dude in the region and that they wanted to, you know, to dominate or be one of the best teams. That's who they had to beat. So I think that was a big part of, like, their mentality in Mexico was sort of the opposite, where they always sort of saw... They kind of looked down at the U.S.
Yeah, and it was even like heated back in the day. Like I remember Sage and Alexi Lalas. We see the picture of him getting kicked in the nads and all that stuff.
It was Buddha. I just double checked, and he did win the Gold Cup in '91. Bora Milutinovic.
Yeah, so basically, like everyone's like put so much importance on the Europeans, and so US had all these scrubs in Europe, and they were, you know, they're getting results, and then Mexico La Volpe started moving people over to Europe.
Come on.
Well, it wasn't him; it was during his era. It was during his time.
I do, during
the Confederations. Mexico got on the map in the Confederations, and people started paying attention to Guardado and all those guys. Anyway, so now the U.S. has actually quality players. This is the whole difference. They have now quality players on quality clubs in Europe, and Mexico slightly does, but maybe not to the same level. And so now I think if they can put it, we haven't seen them put it together, like Jaime was saying, put it together in the national team and see, and, you know, do it there and then prove yourself. I think they might eventually do that. So on paper, you know, they're set to do it. But yet it remains to be seen.
Oh yeah, man. If you just put this lineup in FIFA 21 and you hit simulate, USA is going to win, you know, but that's the beauty about football and real life. It's like, just because you do have players, you know, at these big clubs and all of a sudden you guys think, you know, you claim yourselves to be the champs and you guys haven't even played yet. It's like, yo, you can't just do that. You know what I mean? It's not that easy.
But you know, I'm going to say this about the whole FIFA, and that's the whole being Eurocentric. And that's one thing that I read a lot in the Twitter. And I jumped in there, man. I left some posts and nobody wanted none of me. I was waiting. I was like, bring it, but nobody wanted to fight, man. I was like, but there is mm-hmm. this whole, just because you're over there, you're better. And it's like, no, not really. I mean, it is. It does say that you're a good player. Obviously, of course, I'm not knocking on that, but it doesn't make you automatically better. You know, so like, I could use, you know, like Maradona, for example, when he was a youth with 18, 19, he's playing Argentinos Juniors. And you could have an 18, 19-year-old in Bayern or Real, and people would have said, oh, this guy is better because look, he's starting for Bayern. This Maradona's kid is just in that league, in that small team. He's not that good, you know? And it's sort of like that. So you just being there doesn't, I mean, look at what happened to that kid. Remember from, what was it?
Julian Green?
Yeah, you read my mind. It's
like, well, he was a scrub, though, man.
Get out of there.
He was a scrub.
No, but he was starting for them. He had played Champions League.
I don't think he had started games.
He had played Champions League games.
I think he was in the youth. Man, let me check that out. I think he was in the youth more so than.
Nah, but there was so much hype about that kid, you know.
Yeah, there's
more hype.
He scored the golazo in.
That was fortunate, man. Game was already over. The game was already
it's
over.
Still golazo, man.
Yeah, he. His career right now he's playing for, I think like a second division team or something.
Yeah, he was in Bayern 2.
Yeah.
He had 51 appearances for Bayern 2. And then he was Bayern Munich, like but he never appeared for that team. And then he went to Hamburg on loan, Stuttgart, played 10 games, one goal. And then on loan to Fourth.
During the Klinsmann era, he was infatuated with capping, you know, German American players. So
yeah, it got to the point where they said that if you were in the locker room, you didn't really heard like English.
yeah.
And he was U16, German U16, U17. Then he went to the United States, U18, Germany, U19. And then he switched over. He was like, okay, I'm not going to make anything in Germany. I'm going to the U.S. And even with the U.S., you know, he wasn't all that. But the thing,
this dude playing Champions League.
Maybe he's on the bench because he didn't have any appearances for Bayern. And then Pulisic comes along. Now he's like a more legit prospect than Green. And even in the times where he played against Mexico, there were flashes of like he was juking Mexicans left and right, but he never like finished anything. He was a threat, but nothing came about from his play. So I think he still can be a threat, and with these other guys alongside him.
Well, I think that's the difference now is like now I guess they have some you know supporting cast or whatever. They have more players that can help, you know, get it together. But the fact of the matter is it's like until these two teams, you know, duke it out, it's all the fanboys trying to like, you know, oh, it's because we got Dest playing for Barcelona and this kid at Juventus and this kid at Chelsea.
Okay, look, I just checked. He did play a Champions League match for them. He replaced Arjen Robben. No, wait. He came in the 80th minute in the Champions League match as a sub.
Oh, yeah.
And then he was in the squad for the FIFA World Cup. I don't know if he played there, though.
Club World Cup. Oh, because Arjen Robben got injured. He got on the squad for the FIFA World Cup. Club World Cup.
I think that's the only game he played, the Champions League game. So I don't think he was able to break into their first team. Yeah, but I remember like him starting for the Champions League game, and I was like, damn, okay. They must be rating him highly, but I guess not. I guess he wasn't able to cut it. Yeah, and then he got loaned out, and that was that.
Yeah, but as far as the poll, like initially, like the U.S. was winning, like on as far as the votes. But now the final poll, Mexico's got like 60%. So they won the poll.
You just needed the Mexicans in Mexico to come in, you know, during the fight.
Yeah, yeah. And it took a while because I think the U.S. Twitter retweeted it first. And then after like 40 minutes, Mexico Twitter did its thing. So it took a little while.
I got a question for you guys. Would you guys consider Funes Mori Mexican? Would you call him up for the national team?
Nah.
I would have to see how he is. You know, because if he's one of those, if he likes the country where he's going to stay to live there. Probably his kids were born there. Because I know a lot of players, when they're going to have a kid, they fly back to their country. So if he had some of his kids born there, then yeah, I would. I think they already see themselves living in the country. And so, yeah, I would. If they get nationalized.
I mean, it's Gignac and it's Funes Mori as far as the top strikers in Liga MX, like in recent times. So,
yeah. No, I understand the whole mercenary stuff, and that's mostly with players that are like, maybe they just arrived, but this guy's been there a bit, and I would have to see.
Like, this is not another Guille Franco, you know, situation. This guy is a proven goal scorer, and it would be a luxury to have him.
Guille Franco stayed in Mex, though. His son playing at Cruz Azul. Wait, no, that's Jimenez.
No, I'm talking about, like, talent-wise. I'm not talking about, like, how long their tenure in Mexico was. I'm talking about goal scoring.
He was good.
He was good with Monterrey for a little bit, but then after that. No, but this is my deal with it, the whole thing. And I've said this.
Go on, Chiquis.
I've stated this about Naturalizados from when Guille Franco was the controversy. The Mexican national team is supposed to be a representation of the youth system, of Mexican soccer, starting from the youth system and development all the way to the senior national team. So the players on the Mexican national team should be born in Mexico and grown up developing in Mexico.
Part of the process.
The whole process, it should be like a Mexican product.
I understand.
Not an Argentinian product with a wrapper of Mexico on top of it. That, you know, they were developed in Argentina. Rapper, they went to the Argentina youth. It's like if you get a can of corn or something, and you take off the generic brand wrapper, and you put on a different wrapper.
Well, it's like, for a prime example, cerveza, right? It's all supposedly from Mexico, but it's all like bottled here and stuff. And then, you know what I mean? So it's like, are you really Mexican? No, you're not. You're not part of that. Like you mentioned, he's not part of that process. In fact, he was part of Argentina's process. You know, he played for the under 20s in 2011. You know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is you cannot ignore, number one, he's a very good goal scorer. Number two, you know, talking about Guillermo Franco only scored 60 goals for Monterrey. Funes Mori has 100 for Monterrey. You know what I mean? Like, he scored a lot of goals. We don't really have a player of his caliber, man. Like, as far as striker goes, right now, Raul's out of commission. Chicharito, I mean, I don't even want to talk about Chicharito. We don't really have, like, Macias is, you know, obviously the next in kin. But it would not hurt to have Funes Mori is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true. I agree. But see, I don't care. I'd rather Mexico lose because they don't have because this goes back to like even when Mexico almost didn't make the World Cup, I was almost like, I wish that they wouldn't have, because maybe the federation would make some changes. They would look at themselves and say, okay, we're doing something wrong. Let's totally reconstruct this and change this and make some improvements instead of just going after the money. And this is just sort of like a band-aid fix. Like, we're not developing Mexican strikers, so let's just find this loophole and naturalize this Argentinian guy to come in here and play. And I do have sympathy. Like, I have sympathy for Zinha. You know, his love for Mexico and his, you know, the way he played, his passion for the club. I was happy for that dude. I was glad that dude was on a national team. He didn't seem like a merc. I mean, I wasn't totally happy because he wasn't a product of Mexico, but, you know, he seemed like a cool dude. So there's exceptions, I guess. It's not perfect, but my perfect scenario would be Mexican developed talent on the national team.
Interesting.
Yeah, also. Guillermo Franco is still in Mex. He works in Monterrey. He works for a university. He's like in their football department. He's not the coach, but he's like a general manager or something like that. What happened?
For me,
it's the same for some of these players that get nationalized. For me, if after they retire, they're still in the country, then you know that they do have love for the country, because a lot of them made enough, they could have gone back to their homeland and set up shop and just live there comfortably. So for them to have stayed, you know, I think it speaks a lot.
We're in 2021 World Cups next year. I can understand how this might be perceived. Like, hey, hurry up and get my papers. I might have a shot of going to a World Cup, you know, in my career. I just got to play for Mexico. You know, I understand how that can look like, but he's been in the country since 2015. He scored 100 goals for Rayados. We just happened to be in a position where we could use a little bit more firepower. For me, it's like, hey, man, if he's willing to put on the jersey and score goals for Mexico, I'm all for it, dude. I don't care. I really don't care, man.
Yeah, I mean, no, I, like I said, some of these dudes, they're legit not, you know, to be tagged as mercenaries. I think a lot of them end up having, you know, just linking up to Mexico, and that's their life now, like their new life. They even bring their family, you know, to live with them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, man. We'll have to keep tabs on that story. as it starts to grow. And as we get closer to some national team football, there will be friendlies at the end of the month for Mexico. They'll be playing in Austria. One game I know is against Costa Rica. I forget the other. I think the other one's against Wales. So still no list. Still have no idea who's going to be going to those matches. But we'll be covering that as that story develops. Kind of going back to Liga MX. So we were talking about Atlas winning 3-1 against San Luis. That was on Tuesday. Tigres lost to Toluca 1-0. Puebla beat León. Man, León just doing a really bad job. And Ormeño, you know, we were talking about Ormeño, how he came in, scored the penalty. And then, Puebla ended up winning it in the last stoppage time. Rayados beat Juarez 6-1. It was quite a beatdown. Not doing so well over there at Tena. Juarez has lost 4 of their last 5 matches. And when you lose 6-1, I don't know, man. Your job's in the hot seat. I wanted to talk about Chivas for a little bit because they had their game on Wednesday against Querétaro. They were on the road and they were losing 2-1. And it took a last-ditch effort by Miguel Ponce to give us the draw. We should have lost that match. And then on Saturday, we played against Mazatlán, again on the road, third game in a week. I understand the fatigue. I understand the rotations and all that. But again, another very, very terrible match for Chivas. 1-1 draw. And we are heading into the Super Clásico this weekend on Sunday at 7 p.m. And Chivas have drawn 4 out of the last 5 matches. Meanwhile, América has won all but 1 match in the last 5. So what do you think about this matchup, man?
Wait, was that one match they didn't win against Atlas?
That's actually a good question. let's see. América lost to... Yeah, that was. So technically, it'd be 5 out of 5.
Wow. Impressive, man. Here I am, preaching gloom and doom for them, and they're winning. Maybe I should do the opposite. I think is kind of where they're supposed to be, man. They've been one of the stronger sides for a while now, so not surprised at their good form. They have a good squad. I just think Chivas, I think the media blew a lot of smoke up people's ass. This whole Super Chivas or Chivas Galacticas or whatever they were calling them. And they were making the team to be the super team. But in reality, they were just a competitive team. And I feel that they're still where they should be, given how deep that squad is. It's not that very deep as far as talent and whatnot. And there's still a team that's still bouncing back from 3 years of failure. So I understand the disappointment from fans, but I'm not. They've been clawing their way there to get results, which is an improvement over the past seasons where they scored on them. They had a tough time fighting back. And so at least what we're seeing now is this team is fighting till the last second to get those results, and they're getting them. And what they say, clásicos, results and all that are out the window. But I think Chivas should feel confident going up against América because they've beaten them, not just Copa for Mexico, but in Liguilla. So Ame should be hungry for that revenge. And it should be a very good match.
Yeah, I've kind of like really taken a look at the numbers, looking at this team, and I understand that the output, not the output, but the outcome is kind of ugly right now. It's It's a lot of matches that have been frustrating, but it's not because of Chivas is not trying. You know what I mean? They're trying. You know, they are fighting till the end. They want to win games. It's about the opposition that they're playing and just the matchups. You know, I was looking at the matches that Chivas have played so far, and some of the worst performances that we've seen from them, you know, the loss against San Luis, the loss against Juarez, which were back-to-back, and then this last game against Mazatlán that was very tough to watch. In all those three matches, Chivas had the most possession, like, out of all their matches. They had 60% possession against Atlético San Luis. They had 69% possession against Juarez. And I believe against Mazatlán, it was around 64, 65. They had the ball most of the game. The problem is they're conceding first, you know, in the last, basically every game this season, they've conceded goals. And they just don't know how, like, the teams sit back and they defend for their life for the rest of the match. And Chivas, you know, have to really, like, struggle to get goals. And then when I think about the game that they had the best performance was against León. And they didn't have much of the ball. In fact, that was the only game this season where they did not have majority of possession. They only had 39% possession against León, and they killed them 3-1. So, you know, looking forward to, like, these matches coming up, you know, you have the big game against América. Then you have some really tough matches, you know, Tigres. You have a lot of matches up ahead that are not going to be easy. But I actually feel excited for that because you're finally going to be playing against teams that are aggressive, that are offensive. And Chivas will be very good against those teams because of how fast they are on the counterattack. And I'm trusting that Vucetich will align themselves for the kill, you know. And the reason I have hope is because of how he was able to beat América and Liguilla and the matter of why they did it. I think that Chivas still have this is the turning point of the season. If they can get a very good victory against América, I think that we'll be fine and we'll head into Liguilla and be competitive.
Yeah, I think, you know, going off of what you said, I always felt Buse has built the team for these type of matches, and specifically for once you get into Liguilla to get one of these big results. I don't think he's too worried about going up against a Mazatlán and then murdering them. I think he's been very, like, methodical in just having the team keep playing a certain way. And I guess we'll see if it gets results again, because I do feel, it worked for him last season, and we'll see if it works again this season. But I think he got over that hump, you know, that start of the season was pretty brutal. The media, the fans had already given up on the team.
Yeah.
And like I said, we're seeing positives here. You know, they've been scoring. They've been pretty much scoring every game.
Oh, yeah.
And that's something where Chivas was struggling for a long time, just to put goals in back of the net. And so that's good.
Yeah.
That they're scoring, and not just the strikers. You know, you have some of the...
Yeah, we got, like, Mayorga's got two goals. Ponce has a goal or two. Like, we're getting goals from our wingbacks.
Yeah.
And very good observation there as far as the scoring goals. Yeah. That's actually... We're the highest scoring team outside of Toluca. Toluca has 16 goals. Chivas have 15, and Cruz Azul has 15. So we're tied in second place for most goals scored.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like you said, it's the defense is just lacking, man. It hasn't been that good.
Yeah,
there's been some mistakes where it's pretty, like, kind of boneheaded, and so I think. If they manage to patch that up, then we're going to be looking at a much tougher side. I do believe in that whole defense wins championships. So I think there's a lot of work there.
Yeah. I mean, you just got to take take the positives from all this. Scoring goals, that's a good habit to get into. Two of the goals that we conceded were own goals, so technically we have 17 goals. You know, you know, Boyo and Macias both scoring goals.
And you know, I like that attitude that the team doesn't give up. They could be losing, they could be playing like shit, but they're not giving up. You know, and that's, to me, that's a big positive there. Where in previous seasons, it just seems like, you know, ah, it's another L or whatever. It just seemed like the team was not,
yeah,
their card wasn't in it.
Yeah, and as of right now, we're in ninth. You know, you still want to qualify to Liga in the original top eight positions. You know, you don't want to get into Liga because of the expansion, you know, because of the new rules and stuff. But at this point, I'll take whatever, you know. The important thing is getting into Liga. That's all that matters. That is all that matters. Once you are in, that's a completely different ballgame. I'm actually glad that they're getting these, you know, terrible performances out of the way right now. Do it now. Do it early. Do it when the season really, it's not that big of a deal. That way you can start to, like, fix these mistakes. And Liga, if you haven't seen it from, you know, other tournaments, it's all about timing, man. You go into Liga and you're on a good streak, you're going to win the league. Like, it's really that easy. You can go into Liga as the top team, you know, first position, only lost one game, whatever, and then you get knocked out by the 12th seed. You know, it happens. It happens because it's a different ball game at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, let's see. Let's see what happens, man, with this big. Let's hope the whole Piojo thing distracted the Aguilas. They seem unified, though. A lot of these guys backed Gio, including Ochoa and whatnot.
I saw that.
I think that was a big reason Piojo apologized, in my opinion. But I think just going off of results and whatnot, it should be going in as favorites. I just wouldn't discount Chivas because they already laid the smackdown on twice. So, but I like that the etiqueta, the favorite should be on them. You know, let the pressure be on America.
I think Chivas will rise to the occasion. They're at home. They're gonna have fans, limited capacity, but they will be having fans in the crowd. And I do think that, like, this is the exact kind of adversary they need to face after these, you know, pretty mediocre results. I think this will spark the fire that should carry them for the rest of the season. It could also be a pretty ugly, it could be a beat. It's going to go one of two ways, man. It's going to be a beatdown or it's going to be a pretty entertaining match. You know, that's the only two outcomes I see happening on Sunday, man.
Yeah, so they'll have America. They'll have Monterrey after that.
Yep.
Santos.
Yeah.
Cruz,
yeah,
Azul.
Yeah.
They got some. They got some tough ones coming.
Very
up.
Uphill battle.
And then we got
it's uphill battle right there.
We have to close the season. It's we got Tigres, man. You know, it's gonna be tough, man.
Yeah. Oof. God damn.
Let's talk about Pumas. Okay. After we beat them 2-1, they bounced back and they won. They beat Santos 1-0. And then they went back.
There you go.
They went back to the misfortune of losing against Cruz Azul on Sunday 1-0. Cheekies, man. What's going on over there?
I think that was sort of a good game. They seemed to play okay. They had it 0-0 until towards the end of the game.
Was it that match Liliane wanted to criticize the officiating? But he said, I'm not going to say anything because I could get fined.
Yeah, I think there was a
controversial call or what?
Controversial It was a handball or something that actually resulted to the penalty.
Interesting.
To the game-winning penalty. That probably shouldn't have happened, so 0-0 probably was the just result. And yeah, so it wasn't too bad of a, you know, this graceful loss for Pumas, but yeah, that's how it goes sometimes.
Well, I mean, you guys have the last laugh because, you know, you guys beat them in one of the most, you know, satisfying come from behind victories, you know, last season to go to the final against León. So I'm sure, like, yeah, they might have won the battle, but you guys still own them, you know.
Yeah, it's easier when it's like the high pressure clutch situation against the non clutch team in Cruz Azul. You can almost expect them to implode and fail at the end. But for Pumas coming up, they have Juarez, San Luis, Pachuca, Necaxa. So three teams. Yes, three teams that are okay. Pachuca might be a little tough, and then they got Tigres after that. So,
you know, for Cruz Azul, and they haven't been getting much praise, but that was their eighth win in a row.
What?
So basically, they after losing to Puebla, they just took off, man, and so they strung eight wins.
Oh wow, you're not kidding.
Yeah, they had they started the season with two defeats.
Santos, Puebla.
Santos and Puebla. And then they just win after win after win. And so they got, who do they have next? They play Monterrey, so that should be a really good game.
Should be a good match.
That should be, yeah, that could be one of the other matches. Or even the match of the week, you know, if I'm in. And Chivas turns into a snore fest.
I doubt that will happen. I think Chivas America's. You talked about it. You know, Chivas are scoring goals, and America's in hot form.
Yeah, but
so
remember, like under Tena, the Copa for Mexico, and it was like a 4-3, seven-goal thriller. And then when they met again, people were expecting these
the same
high highs, and it wasn't.
Yeah, it wasn't.
And it wasn't. And so I think it's more of that, dude. I know Buse, and it's like, he's more interested in the point. I'll take the point if I can, especially with that big, you know, that block of games coming up. So If I need to whoop Ame, I'll do it in Liguilla. And I know that'll be his you know, train of thought. But wow, man, Cruz Azul, I didn't know what to expect of them this season with all the changes that happened at the club. You know, we saw the very corrupt Billy Alvarez regime get finally ousted. More because I think they're being you were investigated for fraud. So that's what it took. And so the new management that went in there to clean up the sort of clean house. And the team is I don't know. I'm guessing. I would like to say Cruz Azul fans are excited, but we've seen this before. I don't think they're gonna be excited until Cruz Azul is, you know, lifting the Liguilla MX championship.
Oh yeah, man. This is like and they get you every time. You know, if I was a Cruz Azul fan, I'd be like, no, this is for sure the good one. This is the good, esta la buena, you know, 8 games in a row, let's go. But you just never know with Cruz Azul. And again, talk about timing. You know, Cruz Azul having a crazy, crazy run right now. But what good is it if, you know, there's still 7 matches to go? What good is it if you crash and burn the next, you know, 5 games and then you kind of like, you get into Liguilla, but then you get knocked out in the first. You know what I mean? It's like, what good is an 8-game winning streak if it's not at the end of the season, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, but I mean, I think it's promising, if anything, just because new directiva and it's like club sort of purging some of the sickness it had, that internal, you know, like there was corruption, not just from the owners, but the way they would manage the club. I forgot who it was that said. We said it here, and I forget now. I'm getting old, Jaime. I forget stuff. But this one was the interesting stat that he said that in, what was it, like 10 years, Cruz Azul had over 100 players they had purchased who had not even fulfilled their contract.
Damn.
So, man, you know that was the big, you know, they were just being used, and that's a way of
money laundering.
Yeah. So they'll bring in players, and some of them probably wouldn't even suit up. They're just vacation in Mex. They'll bring some rando Ecuadorian and just leave them in some resort somewhere.
Yeah.
Just tell the media he's injured. they'll forget about him.
There was actually a player that managed to go an entire professional career without ever playing a game. And he just like faked his injury every time. There's like a story about it. It's like very interesting. But he like somehow kept getting...
Is it a Brazilian guy?
I think so. Or like he just kept like getting signed by teams.
He had like a short career, but he would he would do that. He would get signed by teams and then fake injuries. I forget his name, man, but I wrote about him. I don't think his career was that long though, but he managed to.
He did it like, you know, a few times. Like we're talking about, like, dude, I want to say he did like at least like 3 or 4 clubs before they caught on.
Yeah. Yeah, after a while, they look at your curriculum and it's like no playing time.
So there is a makeup match tomorrow, Rayados and León. This was supposed to take place match week 3, but, you know, Rayados had 17 players with COVID. So it's been rescheduled for tomorrow. Unfortunately, you know, looking at this matchup now is not as exciting as it would have been in match week 3 because León is having a tough time. I mean, they're in 16th position. They've only had one victory in the last 5 matches. The rest have been defeats. So there will be a new champion this season. There's no way León end up defending their title, man. I just don't see it.
I think they can bounce back. I don't know if they'll be champions just because I think, well, I agree in part with you, it doesn't seem they have that hunger.
Yeah.
You know, their hunger's been satiated. The last seasons, they just, you know, they had already reached the final when they lost. And then this other one and a couple records of like 14 games without losing, or I think 14 straight wins. I don't remember, but yeah, they probably got too comfortable at this point.
Yeah, they're taking it all, taking the season off, I guess. There was one small victory yesterday for Pachuca. Finally, after 11 matches, they finally got their first victory, and it was against Tijuana. So they are now not the last place team. They're in 17th position with 7 points. And Necaxa are now the worst team in the league. You know, it was interesting. I was reading that Chivas still owe Necaxa money. Which is not good, man. I'm starting to hear that a lot about Chivas owing money to teams. They also owe Man City for Antuna.
man, there's a pay-as-you-go plan.
We broke boys, man. This is not good.
No, I don't think Chivas is that broke, but I do think the whole COVID thing messed things up.
Yeah.
You know, not being able to do some amistosos. They could have done a U.S. tour and pay some friendlies over here, and that would have put some money in the coffers, and just not being able to do that, playing in empty stadiums. So I think that's hurt them. So, they need to chill a bit.
Yeah, it is troublesome, you know, when you hear that, though, you know, because we went through that sort of era with the Promotores, you know, where they had a 10-year plan, and after the 10th year, they were still the team was still broke, man. So it's like, I'm kind of, it's just a red flag, you know. You don't want to have a scandal. So hopefully, it just baffles me. You know, you're the biggest club in Mexico, and you don't, you have IOUs on players, man. Come on.
Well, yeah, and that was one thing that when Chivas was selling some of these other players, I think it was a similar thing where I think they had never fully paid for them. And so I know that was a big reason they had to sell Pizarro. Like, they didn't completely own his transfer, and I think Pachuca was just pushing for it.
Interesting.
Chip up, man. Yeah. And I mean, how was the team going to have money with all the stuff going on and no TV deal? That was the big one right there. I kept telling Chihermanos, I kept saying, hey, man, the biggest moneymaker for Chivas right now, it's those TV deals and the sponsorship deals that come with it. Because if you have a... So, for example, like in Mexico, when they were in open air, the Chivas games would draw in 11 million. So 11 million viewers.
Wow.
So that means if you're, that's your rating, if you're going to put whatever sponsor in the front of the jersey, it's going to, you could charge more because 11 million people are going to be seeing that sponsorship.
Yeah.
Every time Chivas plays. But then all of a sudden, Chivas is no longer on open air TV. They're on Chivas TV, which is like a million. I forgot how much it was. Massive drop off. And that's when they lost their biggest, you know, around that time, they lost what was their biggest. They had already lost it, though. Or I think it was in their last year. But it was Bimbo, and Bimbo had been the last sponsor to pay top dollar. And they haven't found anyone at this point to pay like massive amount of money. But it's not just the jersey; it's also the billboards, you know, that you put in the stadium.
Yeah.
So when you're playing, it's on TV, and you see the ads lined up around the stadium. That's also tied to TV. How many people are watching you? And so when Chivas was like in, what were they like in five different stations in Mexico? That just doesn't work like that, you know. It's not 11 million people watching you now. It's all broken up, and so they don't. That has cost Chivas money. So I don't know where they're at with the whole TV in Mex situation.
I think they're Claro, right, in Mexico. They have a deal with them. I could be wrong.
Yeah, I don't even know anymore.
Yeah, but here we have them on Telemundo, and I believe that's where the match will be on Sunday, 7 p.m. Be there, be square. But yeah, that's Jornada 9 and Jornada 10. We have Jornada 11 coming up. Like I said, we have that makeup game tomorrow, Monterrey-León, but the rest of the matches will be starting on Friday, a well-deserved rest for all these clubs that had basically three matches in 1 week, you know. So while everybody was on Twitter complaining about, you know, all the subs that Vucetic was making. It's like, yo, man, these fools played literally like three games in a week. Like, come on, man. You know.
Yeah, and then the yeah, that's the thing with the doble, crazy doble jornadas and whatnot.
But apparently everybody's an expert, you know. Everyone's a couch coach couch. Couch coach, whatever. I believe that's all we had for tonight. Do you guys have any other closing thoughts?
Piojo did nothing wrong. No, I think he got, I don't think he was being malicious. I think he just got caught up. He's got this vulgar way of being. And I think with the whole, what he had said about Gio, he had said it a year ago. And it was not because he went out and said it, it was because he was asked. And the same, he got asked the exact same question, what was it, last week? And he said the same thing, you know? And so I think just maybe this time the timing was wrong and it blew up in his face. But I think that's always been, you know, his downfall, like his mouth, cashing checks, you know? I don't know how that saying goes, but I think
cashing checks. Cashing checks, your body can't, or no.
Yo, your mouth can't cash. Yeah, something like that.
That's a Top Gun quote, right? I couldn't remember the top.
Shame on me if it's a Top Gun quote and I
can't. Oh, it's your mouth is writing checks, your ass can't cash.
Yeah, okay. That's like
it.
That's when he's chewing up Maverick and Goose after the incident at the very start of the movie.
Ah, okay. Well, but you know, that's sort of like that where he's, you know, his mouth has always gotten him into problems. But hey, at least he apologized. You know, I guess he figured no need to start a grudge. But that's my take on that.
I found the quote from Top Gun. Stinger tells Maverick, son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash.
Yeah.
Oh, body. Chinkies, you turned that into something else.
No, that's what I said. I said body, but I didn't know the ego part. Your ego is...
Did you say body? I thought you said ass.
No, I said ass.
Yeah, he said
Okay. It was
Heimlich. I just googled like your mouth can't cash, and then you know the first thing I saw was it works. Both of them work.
That's like a different type of movie.
Hey, so my final take is speaking of like Joel bringing up Piojo, taking up all the news and highlights and stuff. Someone who's been quiet, and I guess it's sort of normal, but they need to put a mic on the sideline for Javier Aguirre. Like the infamous phrases, and even in the interviews, the way he talks is sort of like really like macho Mexicano. The way the words he uses and everything, it's really fun to listen to. So we need more.
Probably,
we need more Aguirre.
Probably we're not getting it here. You know.
You know what it is.
You're in Mac, you're seeing it, but not here.
Yeah.
You know what it is. It's because unfortunately here in the States you have to have Fox to watch the Rayados games, and at least for me, I can't find those matches on in Spanish, so I have to watch the English broadcast on FS1 and FS2. Yeah. So we're definitely missing out on. Excelente partido, hijos de puta.
Yeah, that's Juan's famous. Juan loves that saying.
I mean, they made a banner.
They made a banner.
Yeah.
When he was over there in what team? In Spain? Celta Vigo or...
I don't know which team, man, but...
It's Atletico, he was...
Yeah, he was with Atletico Madrid before Simeone. Brought him back to the Champions League promised land.
I think Espanol.
Been there in like 10 years.
Yeah, the banners are at Espanol.
Yeah. Cool.
The other team in Barca. Well, I want to thank everyone for listening in. We were live on YouTube today, but I don't think I had anybody in the chat, so...
Yeah, I could have shared it.
It's all good in the hood. We have El Super Clásico coming up on Sunday. Make sure to watch that. And hope everyone has a great night. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Reach out to us. Reach out to us there. Leave us a voicemail on our landing page on anchor.fm. Hope everyone has a great night.